It's all going. Hello and welcome to Lady Time, a podcast for those of us navigating midlife. I'm your host, Jill McGregor, and my guest today is Dr. Jane Markey, a returning Lady Time guest that we had on before, and this time she's coming back to discuss her work. Jane is a naturopathic doctor and homeopath trained at the Canadian College of Naturopathic Medicine and the Ontario College of Homeopathic Medicine. She totally fell in love with homeopathy, which she says is a true mind-body medicine, which takes physical, emotional, and mental symptoms into consideration. She also has a podcast called Empowered Mind, Empowered Health, where she interviews people from all over the world on health and empowerment. And recently, she created a very useful handbook on the 17 basic remedies to have in your medicine cabinet at home, along with the 12 cell salts. So lovely to have you back on, Jane.
Thank you, Jill. Excited.
Well, I'm really looking forward. The last time was very early days of the Lady Time podcast, and we heard a little bit more about yourself. And if people really want to listen back to that, they can find you much earlier on in our podcast life. But we have you back on here today to talk very specifically about your work as a homeopath, which I think is interesting. And I think some of my listeners already know I'm a really, really a big fan of homeopathy. I've been treated by homeopathy for, I think, almost 30 years now. And it's always lovely to talk to you about it. So what got you into homeopathy?
Well, it was a journey. I did university. I came out and I was in a family business. My mom was already always into natural remedies, but I didn't know what homeopathy was till I went to become a naturopathic doctor. But the reason that I fell in love with it was because as a young girl in my teens, I always knew we were more than flesh and blood, that there was this energetic component to us. And I would meditate in order to connect to my higher self and the greater realms. And at that time, I read a book by Barbara Brennan. She was a NASA scientist who could see auras. And she would show how auras would, what a healthy aura looked like, or our energy bodies that surround us. And she would show how, we would get blocks in our energy body from negative thoughts or from abuse in drugs or, different diseases or different things that would happen to us. And then she could show like these black blotches in our energy field that would eventually affect our physical. And so that was part of, I was very interested in what she wrote about and studied it. And then I read Bruce Lipton's book, The Biology of Belief, and he talks about how our mind, the thoughts that we have, send a cascade of chemical information out into our body, and how it's really our mind that affects the body and eventually how we get sick in a nutshell. And so between those two things, I think, and along with maybe my mom's influence, at one point I knew that I wasn't really living my soul purpose. And I had just read a book, The Law of One, and in there they describe some really interesting meditations and things that you could do to connect more with your higher self. And I got down on my hands and knees, and through my heart, I asked, what should I be doing in life? And a few days later, it just came into my head that I should be a naturopathic doctor. And it wasn't a thought. There's such a difference between what you're thinking and ruminating on and a thought that, or a words that just come into your mind. And I was really taken back by it because I had no desire to be an MD or like to prescribe drugs or anything like that. But when I went to research the Canadian College of Naturopathic Medicine came up immediately. And when I read their philosophy, I was very excited. And I think I was enrolled within 4 weeks to become a naturopathic doctor. So that's how that journey started. And it was in my studies to become a naturopathic doctor that I found homeopathy. It's one of the modalities that we study. And I loved it because it combined, it's the only medicine I know of. We learn Chinese medicine as well and acupuncture. And it too takes into consideration, you know, what is out of balance with the mind as well as the body. But homeopathy really took into consideration, and in fact, it can be up to 50% of a case is mental, emotional symptoms. And then how the whole person is then reveals the physical symptoms that are very unique to that individual. And so the way it took mental, emotional, and physical symptoms in tandem is what really compelled me, and it became my passion and still is. So it's, yeah, for years of study, it's a fascinating, fascinating study.
That's a lovely story, Jane. It really is a lovely story. And it's as though it was dropped into you, you know, from wherever, God, source or whatever, without you even having to think about it too much. It just came to you. And I love when I hear about people's careers or vocations, you could call what you do a vocation, when it comes to you like that, because it really is. I know you quite well, and I know how passionate you are about it. Well, explain then a little bit more about how homeopathy works.
So it's a system of medicine that was developed by Hahnemann about 200 years ago. And he, at the time, realized that a lot of the medicine that was given would do a great deal of harm, like mercury was being used and that kind of thing. So he was looking for something outside that particular paradigm. And at the time, malaria was a big problem. And he noticed that chinchilla bark had a positive effect in healing malaria, and that it was a bitter bark, but he knew that other substances that were bitter didn't heal malaria or touch it in any way. So he was curious, and he took chinchilla bark himself in the crude form, and he noticed that it gave him the symptoms that were very much like malaria. And so that's how he started thinking about how, like, if you gave something that would produce the symptoms that were like the disease, that it was curative. And so that's how homeopathy was born. And homeo means like, and pathy means suffering. So that's the premise. And I guess it's similar, like today, you know how people go and get very small amounts of bee venom in order to heal an allergic reaction to bees. I find that's a very simple way of helping them understand this like cures like idea. And so since then, I think now there's somewhere around 2,500 remedies that have been proven and used in homeopathy. And ultimately what a homeopathic doctor tries to do is take someone's case, and they take everything in that case taking that is individual to the person, including their mental, emotional state and exactly how they're feeling a certain symptom or a disease or, you know, even pain. Pain is very unique to each individual. So in homeopathy, there's like up to 500 different ways of describing pain. And so by taking someone's case, you take their individual symptoms and match it to a remedy that exists on earth using this idea of like cures like. And it's fascinating to me how God or the creator has created a planet, you know, that has the answers to our not only our ailments, but our distortion in how we might be thinking, or our our complexity in feeling. And like minerals, plants, and animals carry those that information. And when proven, it comes out. And I just find it fascinating that it exists on this planet in order to heal us.
And how does that work then, where you can like have emotions or states of mind? How do you find that in the remedies themselves? I know that remedies get proved, and that's a term used for finding out what exactly a remedy or a remedy that's made from a substance will do, and you just mentioned that there's 2,500 remedies. That's like a phenomenal amount of remedies. So how does that come about? How does the proving come about, and how you can find a remedy that's right for a certain state of mind?
And approving is a big deal. So there has to be a lot of passionate homeopaths out there willing to take the time and effort and meticulously write down everything that happens. But basically, they take a group of people, and some are given different potencies of a remedy, and some are given nothing. But what they do is try to get people that are very clean and like aren't going any through anything in the moment. And then they give them the remedy, and they're often sensitive people too. Just like how Hahnemann took chinchilla bark and he had the symptoms of malaria. When you do this, giving someone a remedy that's newly made, they will come up with very mild symptoms, but they'll, have a headache that's on the right side and has this particular quality. Or, suddenly they'll have knee pain in the left leg that's, is like knife-like. And it can, and they're coached on how to pay attention to everything that happens in their body. And then over time, those remedies get used, using like cures like, and more information comes out as they're used. But an original or a proving done originally gives a lot of that blueprint or information that could then be used for a homeopath to take it to the next step and see if it helps somebody.
So, have you had a couple of, say, exceptional stories, or a couple of sto any stories where you've been amazed by the results from a remedy that you have given to a client?
Yeah, I have hundreds of stories. And when you first become a homeopath, you question everything, and you're not that good, right? At the beginning. And but as time went on, I would see these amazing story or these amazing things happen, and to patients that were couldn't have happened any other way. So I have the experience of knowing that homeopathy works without a shadow of a doubt. But one of my first experiences was I was using homeopathy on one of my own daughters who was very sick. They had a cough that they would, when they first laid down, they would cough and cough and cough until they vomited. And as a budding homeopath, what I did was give all the cough remedies that I knew of, like spongia and Rumex. And, I was trying these remedies and nothing happened. The cough continued. And I was like, ah, what? And finally, I was like, okay, my daughter's very young, but what I'll do is take her case. Like, I think she was 3 or 4. No, she was old enough to go to school. So she was about 6. So she was old enough to take her case, but I was learning and, trying to figure things out. So I put her on my knee and I said to her, first, you know, you ask what the cough feels like. And I didn't get a lot there. I got, you know, it feels like a tickle and I can't stop coughing and, you know, very limited information. But I asked her what had gone on recently that might have bothered her. So this is where the mental emotional comes in, right? And she told me a story about how she was no longer able to play with her friends on the playground at school. And I asked her how that made her feel. And she said, "Sad, mommy. I feel so sad." And I thought, okay, I'll combine sadness with, you call it an hysterical cough in homeopathy when there's a cough that won't stop. And the remedy was Ignatia. And it's a remedy that you give to people that are in grief or great sadness, but often there's an hysterical cough. And when I gave it to her, the cough stopped immediately, never to return. I think I gave her another dose the next evening. When I heard a little bit of a cough, I redosed and it went away completely. And my husband was also a skeptic at the time, but he's like, okay, I'm a firm believer now. So I love that story because, you know, it pulls in a lot of things that can happen in homeopathy, right? People can discredit it by saying that a remedy doesn't work. Well, of course it doesn't work if it doesn't match what's going on in the individual. And, you know, there's a lot of remedies that you can just give for cough, but unless you take the case a little bit deeper and get the mental, emotional reason behind what's happening, which is causing the distortion in our energetic field, which is causing the physical symptom, then you won't find the remedy. And so, you know, when people discredit, I'm like, well, you just don't understand homeopathy at all, right? Like, and it's a matter of, you know, just this information being covered up and distorted and not well understood. But to me, it's a beautiful story in explaining a little bit more about what homeopathy is and what you have to do to get a good remedy match.
And I was just about to say, that's a beautiful story. I love it. And especially, you know, the innocence of a child as well. They usually come out with things very straight out. There's no filter with a child. So she was sad because of the incident in the playground. And perfect, you know, and even I, for all the years of going to a homeopath, I didn't actually even connect it quite in the way that you said it. I mean, I know my homeopath when she's giving, you know, doing her consultation with me, she'll be asking me all about my feelings and this, that, and the other. Sometimes even the amount of questions are, oh, I don't know. I don't know how that felt. I don't know. Is it a cold this or a cold that or a warm this or a warm that? But, you know, you have to really get more and more precise. So the more questions that you dig down into, I suppose, the more you're going to actually find a remedy that matches. And I suppose there's only a certain set of common symptoms as well. So it's not always, I used to think, oh my God, it's so hard. How hard is it to find the remedy? But I guess you also have an intuitive element to it as well, once you've been practicing for as long as you have.
And, you know, children, like you said, they're unfiltered and it comes out so sometimes so simply that, like, wait, is that, was that all there is? But as adults, we're so complex that often you're looking for the strange, rare, and peculiar symptom. The thing that is so bizarre for that individual, the way they describe it, that will be the key to finding the exact remedy. And then everything else will fall into place. All the other symptoms also match. But that's why I always tell people, the stranger it is, if it feels like it doesn't make any sense at all, say it, right? And we grow up in a world where we just say, oh, it's painful. We don't think about what it feels like underneath. I remember one of the pains I had felt like screeching, and when I went deeper, it was like screeching like a bird, like a hawk, like that kind of screeching was in my bones. So that's the kind of thing that you can, say to a homeopath, and it's very unique to you how you're experiencing it.
Yeah, and I mean, my first time to go, I think it was 30 years ago, it was 1992, and I was very unwell at the time, but I'd gone to the doctor, and this was my first step into homeopathy. And prior to that, I would have gone to the doctor, even though I was already into kind of natural, I was into the Bach flower remedies at that stage, but if I got a really bad cough or a chest infection or something, I was still inclined at that stage to go to the medical doctor. But my doctor could find nothing wrong with me, and I don't even know what it was. I think it may have been glandular fever. But after about 6 months of going to the homeopath, and after even the first time I went, some of the symptoms already started to shift, and I thought, oh my God, this is amazing, this tiny little tablet. And I was hooked on it from the very first. And of course, a friend had made me go, and she said, keep at it, because it does can take time to clear something that's maybe chronic or longer lasting. That's right, isn't it, Jane? It can take a while. It's not just first off one remedy and you're sorted.
Well, the beautiful thing with homeopathy, when you match it and you find that one remedy that's really helping, and sometimes the remedy changes, but often if a good case is taken, it matches the individual, and they'll take the remedy, they'll get better, but then say a trigger happens in life and the symptoms come back, you just redose the remedy, right? So it can take time to completely have it, resolved. It can take, some people, and depending how chronic it is, right? Like it can take a few weeks to a few months to a couple of years, depending on the individual again and how deep it is. Pennies, one of those little vials that can last 2 years costs $13 US. And it can't be patented because it's made from nature, and it helps you understand why it's been there's been attempts to eradicate it as a gift to humanity.
Absolutely. I remember on here in Ireland on a national radio station. I don't listen to it anymore anyway, but at the time when I was listening to it, there's a doctor on it, and she's a broadcaster, and I never liked her anyway, but she dismissed out of hand one day that homeopathy was absolute quackery. She didn't even give any argument for it or explanation. She just dismissed it out of hand. And I was so close to phoning in, but there wouldn't have been any point, but I was so angry about that, because I was sitting at the time almost 30 years of having been cured and healed and made, better of whatever the condition I was on numerous, countless occasions. Of being helped and cured with homeopathy. But as you say, and this is what I love about it, you can't patent something in nature, and certain large corporate companies that make certain types of medicines for the world, they can only patent them when they take one of the components of the herb or whatever it is, substance from nature, from the plant, from nature, then they have to take that one component and add other chemical man-made things to it, and then they can patent it. But what I had learned recently, and I couldn't believe that it took me so long to understand this, was that a herb or a plant has every component in it that you need for the wholeness of the plant. You can probably explain this better than me, but the wholeness of the plant helps all aspects of what the plant does to you to heal you, and helps other aspects of your body as well while the plant is doing its thing. So you actually need all of the plant to do whatever it does correctly, whereas a man-made medicine with just one component of the plant will only do so much and can only do so much. Could you elaborate on that or explain it even a bit better than me,
yeah,
Jane, if you
yeah,
want
it's
to?
Very synergistic the way the health of a plant and the chemical component of it work. And it's interesting because in homeopathy, you would take, a piece of the plant, which would have all those components in it. So you take the plant as a whole or a berry as a whole. And, belladonna is really well known, and it's like the berry of the plant. But it would have all those, like it would have the wholeness that you're talking about in the remedy. So you wouldn't be taking, a single chemical component from the plant. You would be taking it as a whole. And then, yeah, that's a really good point, Jill. And yeah.
It's the same. I mean, you can travel. I have all the traveling that I've done a good bit of traveling around the world into areas where you're meant to take, say, injections for travel injections, but I've never ever taken them. I've taken the equivalent in homeopathy, the prophylaxis. Never had a bother with that. And I've been in the jungles in Africa and in South America, and been in areas of where there's well, I try to avoid malarial areas, but you can't always avoid malarial areas when you're traveling through. So I take all of the travel prophylaxis homeopathic remedies, and I've done that for years and years and years of all my travels. So carry on.
Homeopathy has been used as prophylactic and in major epidemics over time. And I'm always surprised that, well, of course we know why, but why it's not used more in times of crisis.
Yeah, exactly.
Other things seem to make more money, so they're brought to the but it's too bad because homeopathy can do no harm, right? It's such a beautiful medicine.
That's right. If the remedy doesn't work, it just doesn't work. That's all that happens. It doesn't do any other harm to your body.
I
mean, you said mentioned God or creator source earlier. It is a gift. It's as nature gives us so much nature just gives us an abundance of gifts. It's unbelievable. It's all there,
Right?
Yeah.
And what a planet we live on. We're programmed. We come in with no information of source. We're programmed for the first 7 years of our life. And in that programming, there can be a lot of distortion that happens, right? Our unconscious mind is creating loops and programs. And that's how we learn. That's how we know what an apple is. But it's also how we know to survive because, this incident happened when we were one. And then that programming stays there right through adulthood. And so I just find it fascinating how we come in with all these difficulties and this programming that can add to our stress and our disease, but then we're given the essence of what we need to heal ourselves at the same time. And maybe that's the journey, right? That's the beauty of being human and being brave enough to come onto this planet at this time. But I think, you know, there's a lot of fear in looking at those programs because they remain hidden, and that's how the unconscious mind works. So we just need to be brave enough to look and shine light on it. And that's also a passion of mine, getting people to realize how much the mind is responsible for what goes on in the physical body, and that it's just a program that we can change, and we have the power to do that, right? That it's not all that scary when you understand it.
Yeah, and you just say it so simply, Jane. It is just a program, and you can change it, exactly like you can change the radio station or the TV station or whatever it is. Or you can decide, you know what, I'm not going to go down that dark, you know, path. Say it's say you're coming home from work one day and there's a path there that's not well lit. Well, you won't go down it, but I'll choose to go down this one with that's well lit. Do you know, it's a bit like, you know, you can choose whatever you want to do. You know, you can always choose the best path and option.
And beliefs can change quite instantly, right? Sometimes they, and with homeopathy, what I have found is that people will come in with, you know, stories of heartache or betrayal, and they'll be in a loop and talking about it. And, you know, you almost can't get them to stop talking about it. And then you give them a remedy that matches the state along with the physical symptoms that manifested with it. And the next time they come in, you'll ask them about, well, what about this, you know, thing that happened to you? And it's almost like they don't remember it. Like it leaves their whole psyche, which I just find so beautiful and so powerful that, you know.
What an amazing vocation you have, Jane, to be able to just see the joy of seeing people be just becoming whole again, because that's really the way homeopathy works. It's like helping people to become whole again.
And the truth is, when we're caught in these loops of pain, we're not actually able to connect to our higher purpose, because we're in that loop. And, you know, when you're sick or you're feeling a lot of pain, you're not able to move forward. So you're stuck. And so what I find homeopathy does is get us unstuck. And personally, I think it connects us to our higher purpose. We're able to see it, and we're able to thrive. And then that's beautiful, because then we're adding to the whole, or the reason why we came.
Oh, so lovely. And, you know, to come back a little bit to the more practical side of homeopathy as well, I know that we can walk into a shop and we can buy, you know, remedies as a punter coming in for sort of first aid reasons. But that's the difference, which you've just described, and what we've just been talking about, is what you would do when you go to a homeopath for a much more chronic, say, condition, or a deeper reason, or if you have depression, or you have something, you know, going on serious in your body, or whatever it is. But we can still treat ourselves to a lesser degree with different first aid remedies, which is what your book that you have written recently is about, but we'll get to that shortly. But before, and I know that we have a certain amount of time here, I want you to talk about the cell salts as well. And what are they, and what is the difference between the cell salts and the homeopathy?
I became fascinated with cell salts when I was studying to become a homeopath. We took a number of hours studying them. And what I loved about them was there's only 12. And they're simpler, right? And they're reduced to the point of 6X, which means some of the mineral is still in them. They're the 12 essential salts that make up our cells. So that's why they're called cell salts. And they're salts because they're two minerals combined, like natrum phos or nat mer. And so they're all salts, but there's 12 essential salts. And what I found was as I became practicing as a naturopath, I would teach mothers about cell salts because, if you wake up at 11 p.m. or midnight and your child has a bit of a fever and a little bit of a cough, and there's nobody you can call, and the only thing you can think of is to give Tylenol, to teach them how to use cell salts at that time and possibly have their child wake up better again in the morning. Like they can't get hold of me. Homeopathy is a little more complex. If they miss the remedy, nothing happens, right? Like they need a practitioner to maybe help them find the right one. But I was teaching mothers how to use cell salts and teaching them how to treat their own kids in at times of often colds and flus, and they were just getting great results. So I love them because of the simplicity. And so my book started with writing about the 12 cell salts. It became a blog on my website, and then it became a little bit more in depth, and I created my Jane's Empowered Handbook so that people could just learn about these things so they didn't always end up, outside of re I feel that if we're more empowered, we don't always have to run to a doctor in the first steps. That might be needed if there's, a fear of pneumonia or something like that. But when a child first has those first sniffles or first cough, there's so much you can do to turn that around. So
And
that, yeah.
cell salts are used sort of for, are they like first aid or something like that?
So in my book, I wrote about the 12 cell salts. You can use them from anything from colds and flus to headaches to muscle cramps to first inflammation to bone breaks to sprains to needing to cleanse your liver to they're actually can be used for so many ailments. There's very complex books written about cell salts. So actually what I tried to do was simplify it a little bit so that people could quickly start to use them. And then if you love it, learn more, right? Learn. There's so much to learn.
Oh, that's amazing. And you've just reminded me that a few years ago, I remember I used to buy the cell salts, and they literally just melt in your mouth, don't they? They're tiny little tablets that melt in your mouth. And I must look into them again, and I'm definitely going to get your book, Jane, and probably read it then, and then go and buy all 12 cell salts.
They're beautiful to have in a home cabinet, 12 cell salts. You can literally start to treat anything, just with cell salts. Like when I broke a bone, I took calc phos, ferrum phos for inflammation, calc phos, which is calcium phosphoricum, to help replace the calcium in a very safe way, because calcium can build up in arteries unless it's combined with other nutrients to be absorbed by the body. But calc phos, that does not build up in that way. It just gets straight to what it needs to do, and it's very easily absorbed. So yeah, and I explain all that in my book so that and how to take it and what dosage to take depending on what's happened, right? If it's more severe, to take it more often and more, take more of it. And then if it's something that's comes and goes very quickly, then you don't take as much. So to just explain that, take some of the mystery out of, and I did the same thing for homeopathy, to take the mystery out of dosing and when to take it. But yeah.
And you included 17 remedies, isn't it, in your book?
Yes. And so I included, so your point on, do you go to a pharmacy and you see that there's often about 36 remedies of homeopathy that you'll see. And they'll have, used for cough or used for bee stings. And so they're giving you the tiniest, tiniest bit of information behind that remedy. And, you know, sometimes you are really fortunate and that's exactly the remedy you need and it works. And so what I did was present 17 remedies that are used most commonly for colds, such like colds and flus, such as Jalsinium, which is like a remedy that you use for a flu when you feel dizzy and weak. And so if the dizziness isn't in the flu, then it's probably not that remedy. And I try to explain that, right? So then maybe you want a remedy like Bryonia, where you want to be left alone and want small sips of water. So there's a few remedies that are often used for flus. It might not be the one, but there's a good chance that, you know, you will see relief with these particular remedies. And Allium Sepa is another one that I put in the book because it's onion. And often, you know, when you have a cold, you'll have stinging eyes and your eyes will water and your nose will run. And that's what happens when you peel an onion. And so just to get people to realize, you know, the connection between the symptoms and the remedy. And then I'll put a little bit of information about the mental emotional behind it, just to start to get people to understand there's a mental emotional component into really matching the remedy. And if that's there as well, then you're even closer to a match possibly with yourself. So I write about 17 remedies, homeopathic remedies, just giving that little bit of information and the mental emotional behind it and how to dose, because, you know, do I take 3 pellets? Do I take it just once? Do I repeat every 2 hours? You know, like we have this medical paradigm behind medicine that we fall back on, whereas homeopathy works quite differently. You take it, you know, and if you're suddenly better, you don't repeat. You only repeat if the symptoms come back, right? So it's a different way of thinking. And so I try to get that across so that people understand homeopathy a bit better.
It's so interesting. And you explain it so well. So I'm sure that your book is very clear about how you describe everything that you need to know about it. It's been really great talking to you. And Jane, and do you have any last notes at all or tips or anything that you forgot to say during the interview or would like to say now?
I wrote the book when I realized that we give our power away far too often to others, you know, when really that power exists within each of us. And when there's outbreaks on the planet, I don't have any fear because I know I have so much information, right? And I realized most people don't. And, you know, they don't understand some of these beautiful healing modalities. So I just wanted to share that in a simple way that hopefully would spark curiosity and possibly a lot more learning. So that was why I wrote my Jane's Empowered, because it's in us, Empowered handbook. And I started my podcast at the same time, trying, you know, just getting that message out.
So how can people find you, Jane, and find your podcast and also buy your book? Is it an ebook, by the way?
It can be an ebook. It's available on my website. There's 2 links to Amazon and Frisian Press. So you just need to hit the link and then it comes quite quickly. And that's on my website, empoweredhealth.com, and empoweredhealth.com.
Okay, well, I'll put those in the episode notes as well. Oh, Jane, thanks as always. I know I speak to you outside of the podcast anyway, but it's a real pleasure to share you today with our listeners. And thank you very much.
Thank you, Jill. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for listening to Lady Time. I hope you enjoyed this episode. I enjoyed it very much myself, and I hope you also find it helpful and useful. Please do share it with your friends and your family and on your social media. Please subscribe to Lady Time if you like what we do. And if you'd like to share any private feedback with us, you can or tell us what you'd like to hear more of, or even have a midlife story or a story about your own healing modality that you'd like to share, may you think may be of interest, you can contact us at our email address at ladytimepodcast@protonmail.ch. And until our next episode, bye for now.